This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and you're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Oanda senior market analyst in Singapore, Kelvin Wong. Good morning from London. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good morning to you, and good afternoon over here in Asia. Good to hear from you again, Johnny.
Let's start with the markets where you are. And of course, we had falls in the United States late on Friday. So I'm assuming that Asia-Pacific markets have reflected those numbers. And also the fallout from this weekend's action from Iran in that missile strike against Israel has also had some impact. Where do you want to start today?
Yeah, sure. So maybe let us start with the reaction from the major Asia benchmark stock indices. So what we could see over here is almost all of them ended in the red. The Hong Kong Hang Seng Index is down a negative 0.7%, together with the Japan Nikkei 225 at a very similar magnitude as well, down negative 0.4%. And the other Asia indices, for example, the KOSPI 200, the ThaiX, as well as the Australia stock market, the ASX 200 and Singapore STI all down with losses of between negative 0.5% to as much as negative 1.4% on the Taiwan ThaiX index. So the one that is pretty much surprising, stooting on the upside, is the sole gainer among the sea of red or losses in the Asia benchmark stock indices is China. So surprisingly, China CSI 300 is actually up today with a gain of positive 2%. So that seems to be in light of some anticipation of a better than expected numbers out from tomorrow key China data, which we can actually talk about more about that later on.
Now, Kelvin, oil prices have fallen today after Iran's attack on Israel over the weekend. Some may be surprised by that, but I'm assuming that prices had already risen in expectation of action by Iran before Saturday, so it was already priced in.
Yes, yes. Also, if you look at the current movement on the way oil prices move in the last 2 weeks or so, definitely together with the rallies in spot gold, XAU/USD, the primary driver of that positive movement in the last 2 weeks has been primarily more on the rising geopolitical risk premium. So where does this risk premium come from? It's definitely up from this Middle East tension that is between this Israel and Iran tit-for-tat maneuvers. So what we could see on last Friday is that yes, the unfortunate event on Saturday has really played out. That means Iran has really retaliated against Israel. So right now, what market is actually looking at is, were there any more further escalation of tension between these two key stakeholders in the Middle East region? So the answer right now over here is still murky. Why? Because right after Iran's offensive against Israel, Iran actually officially made an announcement saying that that's all for now. Israel right now is actually pondering what is their next move will be. But however, if you look at the current Israel Airlines, especially between the US and the European Union, they're actually lobbying for a de-escalation of tension in the Middle East. So given this potential stalemate at this point in time, without any fresh catalyst that may spark further rise in global geopolitical risk premium. So that actually explains why we start to see a bit of profit-taking activities in oil prices in today's Asia session and right now as we are speaking. So you look at the WTI crude oil, it's actually down negative 0.6%, and also gold is down slightly as well after rallying close to a fresh all-time high on last Friday. So the key thing about here is that, yes, we may start to see a bit of downtick in West Texas, the WTI crude oil price, but their short-term and medium-term uptrend is still be relatively entrenched at this moment in time. Why? Because prices are still trading above their 20-day and 50-day moving averages, which is actually acting as support respectively at 83.20 per barrel. That's for the 20-day moving average. And the 50-day moving average is acting as a support at around $80.20 per barrel.
So in order for markets to return to those sorts of levels, it would need a real de-escalation between Israel and Iran. We're talking just before the Israeli cabinet sits to discuss how they might respond, if at all, to what happened over the weekend. And markets will have a close eye on that. And of course, over the next few days or so, it would seem at this stage as though there's not going to be an immediate response. But in Israel's words, they will act at what they've called the appropriate time. So markets are still going to be very jittery, aren't they?
Precisely. And do not forget over here is that one of the reasons in terms of that risk-off behavior, especially we start to see in the major US stock indices in the past 1.5 weeks or so, has been primarily driven by indirectly higher oil prices. Why? Because higher oil prices fit into higher inflationary expectation, and that has already been reflected in the latest University of Michigan survey data, where market participants are now expecting higher inflation expectation to tick up from a longer term horizon. And that actually doesn't bode well for the start of the interest rate cut cycle in US. As we know that the US Federal Reserve officials have started to give their guidance that they are in no hurry of enacting the first interest rate cut. So if oil prices continue to remain firm at this level, given the fact that the primary reason for higher oil prices is more due to this joyous political risk premium, that could actually lead to US 10-year treasury yield rising on the upside. So if you look at the US 10-year treasury yield, last week, it managed to actually clear above that 4.5% key medium-term resistance level. And right now, it's during the Asia session, it's been trading firmly above its rising 200-day moving average as well, that is coming to as a support level at around 4.3%. So given the current upward trajectory in the US 10-year treasury yield, we cannot say that the current risk-off behavior or observation that we see in the last 1.5 weeks has been off the table. Potentially, if we start to see a further rising US 10-year treasury yield, it could potentially add more downside pressure on the major US stock indices and potentially spreading a negative feedback loop towards the rest of the world as well.
Now, talking of inflation, we're going to get some data this week here in the UK and outside. What are markets expecting from the latest CPI numbers?
Okay, so let us start from the UK expectation on the CPI number. So that for UK, the inflation data for UK will be out on this Wednesday. So this Wednesday, markets, if you look at the core year-on-year rate, so the core year-on-year rate, the forecast is being coming in much lower this time around. So markets expecting to come in at 4.3% year-on-year for March. That is slightly down 4.5% being recorded in February. So what we could see over here is that the inflationary expectation in the UK has been trending down much, much lower versus what we see much more sticky inflation in US. So if the numbers came in within expectation, that means i.e. at this 4.3% year-on-year, that could actually give rise to much more aggressiveness by Bank of England to in fact enact its first interest rate cut ahead of the Fed. So that could also mean what it means on the FX market, it could actually put a further upside pressure on the US dollar, because right now it seems to us that the US Federal Reserve potentially could be the last of the central bank to actually kickstart its interest rate cut cycle.
And Kelvin, we've also got Japanese CPI later in the week. But before then, we've got some key data from China, particularly the GDP numbers.
Yes. So what we could see over here is that for sure, market participants will be paying close eyes attention to the Q1 report card in terms of economic growth for China. Why? Because at the start of this year, during the two sessions, that means that is where the top China policymakers in February lay out their economic plans and as well as the current to this year-end economic growth target, which is still pegged at around 5%. So market participants will be seeing whether that Q1 GDP numbers is able to achieve this rate of growth. So market participants right now is penciling a 5% year-on-year growth for the GDP, Q1 GDP. But what's interesting over here is that going forward, industrial production and as well as retail sales is coming in to be lackluster. Why? Because tomorrow we do have industrial production for March as well. So this time around, industrial production for March, market participants has penciling a slower growth rate at 5.4%, down from 7% year on year in February. And retail sales, due to this persistence, lack of consumer confidence in China, market participants also expecting a deceleration of growth as well. For March, they're expecting to come in at 4.5% year on year, down from 5.5% year on year in February. So that is pretty much a kind of a self-explanatory. Why? Because if you look at the last few months at the start of this year, China top policymakers has been continuing reluctant to actually unite very strong fiscal stimulus measure, both on the fiscal side as well as the monetary side, to jumpstart their economy. So they are actually pretty much comfortable with this stopgap measure to actually boost China economic growth rather than an all-out rampant liquidity or physical pumping. So that being said, that market participants will be looking at the FX market from a yuan perspective. Why? Because right now the dollar Chinese yuan is actually trading very close to a key resistance level at around 7.3. That's one US dollar against the Chinese yuan. So if we start to see a breakout above the 7.3 level, that means we start to potentially could start to see much more pronounced yuan weakness. So with much more pronounced yuan weakness, there could be a fear of further capital outflows that could also dampen the Chinese and as well as the Hong Kong stock market. And lastly, before we end this week, there's another key economic event that we could pay attention out for, will be the Japanese inflation data. So Japanese inflation data will be out on Friday. The core inflation rate, that is excluding fresh food and energy, for month of March. So the forecast is coming in at around 3%. So that's slightly almost the same at 3.2% year on year recorded in February. So market is looking at around 3% year on year for March. So that is still way above that 2% BOJ target, where the Japan's inflationary growth has remained above this 2% target since around 2 years ago. So, but bear in mind over here is that the yen continue to be pretty much weak. Why? Because it's due to a change in the fundamentals right now. Yes, we start to see the 10-year JGB rising as well in the last 2 weeks. But the rise of the US 10-year Treasury yield is actually rising at a faster rate than the 10-year JGB yield. So that actually explains to us why the Japanese authorities are pretty much quiet in the FX market. They didn't actually, kind of a real intervention to actually sell the dollar, given the fact that the dollar yen has really breached above that previous intervented level at 151.95, because due to this potential change in the fundamentals relatively between US and Japan, as expressed by the higher pace of 10-year US Treasury yield increase over the rise in the 10-year JGB yield. So it will be pretty much fertile, unproductive to actually engage in such a real FX intervention by the Japanese authorities at this juncture.
Very interesting. Kelvin Wong in Singapore, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.